Radio.
Good afternoon. You are joining the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And, we hope you're drinking decaf. We don't really care what time of day it is. Because I got to tell you, this stuff makes me
angry. We're going to get you fired up for next week so you can be a step ahead of some of the uninformed folks out there about what's really going on with Islam.
Unbelievable. Our guest today is Peter Friedman, and he has got years and years and years and years of study on this. And Peter, how many books do you have on this particular topic? Do you have like rooms, or do you have to like rent a storage unit?
Florida ceiling bookcases surrounding my living room.
Yeah, I was trying to picture what it must look like at your house.
A beautiful mind.
I used to carry, some of this stuff around in my car, just so if I got in a conversation with people, so I had several copies of the Quran and stuff, and I figured, something? If I ever got stopped on the highway.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, so I don't carry that anymore.
Straight to Sharia jail.
I just tell people, okay, just go to my website. Let me do a little history here.
Hey, before you do that, I looked at the Zakat Foundation. That's what you wanted us to. Does that connect to this handbook and all that? I'm assuming.
Al-Quds? Yeah, Al-Quds. Al-Quds. Matter of fact, Hamas has got the Al-Quds Brigade. The stuff is all designed, to throw the Jews out of Jerusalem and recover Jerusalem for Islam and whatever. Al-Quds is the Arabic word. What's interesting is John Brennan, our head of the CIA, several years ago made a speech to an Islamic group, and instead of referring to Jerusalem, he referred to it as Al-Quds. And I thought that was interesting. Who knows? Anyway, can we move on to the rest?
Yes, sorry. Off we go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Don't forget about Ron. He wants the political candidate's contribution list too.
We got it.
Okay, thought I better throw that back out there.
In the document, the refugee resettlement document that has to be given by the president every year to Congress under the 1980 Refugee Act. Signed by Jimmy Carter, by the way, on March 17, 1980. Every year, the president has to provide this document to the judiciary committees of the House and the Senate, declaring in this document how many people he intends to bring in here as refugees during that fiscal year, and how much is going to be spent, where the money comes from. So this document is available on the internet. Go to Google. It's in PDF. It comes directly from the Congressional Research Service. So there it is. Okay? It's all documented. So what happened here? Now, remember, let's go back for a minute to this strategic goal that was written in 1991 by Muhammad Akram. And in there, it basically talks about taking over the United States and North America for Islam, and they are going to effect this by civilization jihad. Okay? They are going to infuse as many Muslims into America as they possibly can until they represent about 6 to 7% of the population, and now fuse them into a political entity. Okay? And so think about Hamtramck, Michigan, and Dearborn, Michigan, and Minneapolis, and places like that right now. So this thing is rolling along pretty well. They have the funding to do it because $5.5 billion every year in Zakat goes to support these programs. So when you go to page 5 of that strategic goal, it talks about, under item 4, the process of settlement. Okay? In order for Islamist movement to become a part of the homeland in which it lives, all right, certain things have to happen, such as the movement, and I'm reading and I'm quoting from page 5, the movement must plan and struggle to obtain the keys and the tools of this process to carry out this grand mission as a civilization jihadist responsibility, which lies on the shoulders of Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood in America. And it talks about, among these keys and tools, are the following. And then it lists all of these various ways that they are going to affect us. So let me tell you what has occurred now, especially since 1965. Because now we're going to tie the Democrat Party together with the Muslim infiltration. Now, if you recall, I told you that the Muslim Students Association actually began operating in America in our universities in 1966. So there has been, at least since 1965, an unholy alliance between the Democrat Party, which is no longer, I mean, you could see what's going on with Bernie Sanders and everything. This is not Jack Kennedy and Harry Truman's Democrat Party anymore. So there's this unholy alliance between the Democrat Party and the Muslim integration into the United States. And here's the history behind this. In 1965, Johnson, President Johnson, and Ted Kennedy devised a plan to keep Vietnam going, and please try to suspend your disbelief and not listen to or believe all the propaganda that's come out. So in 65, they decided that if they brought a lot of Vietnamese refugees in here, that they would all, for the most part, vote Democrat. And that's pretty much what has occurred. So they are salting the electorate at that point in order to stay in power. California is a microcosm of this. California now has a 3-to-1 ratio of registered Democrats to registered Republicans. So you can pretty much tell who is going to win for governor and senator in November from California. It's going to be Gavin Newsom as the governor. It's going to be Kamala Harris as the senator. Why? Because we are so outnumbered, 3-to-1. And most of the people in that Democrat end there are third world people who are not highly educated, but they get a government check every month, right? And when you rob Peter to pay Paul, you will always get Paul's vote. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. So we started out with the Vietnamese refugees during the Vietnam War. In 1980... let me tell you about the refugee. Why refugees? Why not immigrants? Because if you come here on a visa, there is no path to citizenship. If you're not a citizen, you can't vote. So by the law, the immigration law, if the country grants you asylum or refugee status, that is a direct pathway to a work permit, a green card, and ultimately to citizenship. And that's what they have to have in order to dilute the population. So in 1980, Jimmy Carter decided to bring all these Afghan refugees here. Remember, if you remember, the Russians were in Afghanistan, and Jimmy Carter back there in 1980 refused to send our team to the Olympics in Russia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So Carter continued this. And he was coerced by, believe it or not, Joe Biden, who sponsored the legislation, and Ted Kennedy again, who co-sponsored the Refugee Act of 1980. Go Google it. It's right there. Matter of fact, it is Public Law 96-212 of the 96th Congress, signed by Jimmy Carter on March 17, 1980. So what happened was we brought all these Afghans in here, and we brought them in as refugees from Afghanistan who were being persecuted by the Russians. Today, they're all citizens, and they all vote Democrat. Let's fast forward to 1992, 12 years later. We've got Bill Clinton, And Bill Clinton, as you recall, after Black Hawk Down, Mogadishu, brought in all the Somali refugees. So the program continued, and they were all brought in under the 1980 Refugee Act. The Somalis all went to Minneapolis, except for some that Clinton put down in Arkansas in Hot Springs to help out his buddies at Tyson Chicken. And the if you remember the Westgate Mall massacre in Kenya 2 years ago?
Yep.
That was all affected by Somalis. And two of the Somalis were the children, the sons of Somalis that were brought in by Bill Clinton back in the 90s to Minneapolis. And two of these guys went to work at the airport in Minneapolis, St. Paul, for Delta Airlines as baggage handlers. Now, doesn't that make you feel comfortable?
So much for TSA screening.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
no, move it, and they don't go through the same TSA security that the rest of us are subjected to. By the way, do you know why we have TSA security? I always ask everybody when I do a presentation, how many of you have been through the TSA security in an airport in the last year? And most of the people raised their hands. I said, did it ever dawn on you while you're taking your shoes off and your belt off why the TSA exists? If it were not for Islam, we wouldn't need the TSA.
No, we certainly wouldn't need it at the level we have now.
Yeah, true story.
Well, anyway, moving right along. So now 2001 comes around, and we have 9/11, and George Bush on 9/12 stood there at Ground Zero, and he said, we are not now, nor will we ever be at war with Islam. And the Muslims outside the United States kind of looked at each other and went, oh, wow, it's time to go. And it created a vacuum. And all of a sudden, at 9/11/2001, we had 987 mosques in the United States, and today there's over 3,000.
Wow.
So we created this vacuum, and they said, now's the time. And in they came. Now we go to 2008. We get Barack Obama. I really think that there is some dot connection between what I am telling you about this unholy alliance and the attempt by the modern Democrat Party to dilute the electorate and create more Democrat voters by bringing in people from third world and putting them on the government dole. And Sean Hannity jumps on this every chance he gets with, 47% increase in food stamps and everything else. So if you take people once again and you rob Peter or pay Paul, you will always get Paul's vote. That's just a given. It's an absolute. So I really wonder if there is any possible connection between Obama and Hillary Clinton blowing up the Middle East to create the Syrian refugee program. Because Hillary Clinton, and I wish that Trump, instead of saying, yeah, she wants a 500% increase in the refugees coming here, give it a number, quantify it. What she's talking about is 65,000 additional Muslim refugees brought into the United States beyond the 70,000 that is in the current congressional report that was given by the president to the House and the Senate. So we're talking about a ton of people. Now, if you figure that Jim Comey and General Flynn and the rest of these guys who know this stuff, that at least 2% are going to be jihadis, then take that 2%, and we're going to have 2,000 radicals running around here trying to kill Americans. Now, why is that acceptable to the current administration and the future administration, God help us if Hillary gets elected?
Hold that thought.
What is the
Hold that thought.
Yeah, what is
we'll
the
make
American...
that a little cliffhanger there because I'm starting my cascading
the American citizen acceptable death rate in order to aggrandize the Democrat Party with new voters.
And we'll be right back with more on that. Sorry about that, Peter. I'm 5 minutes behind again. I gotta make Bill do these breaks. What am I? Why do I have all the pressure?
I'm in enough
trouble. Ridiculous. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Peter Friedman.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Oh, I like it. Doesn't
that make it sound like it's so much more fun than it is? Oh, Peter,
makes me giddy.
This stuff is crazy. So, okay, so what is the deal with FBI and all these guys? I mean, is this job security? They'll always have somebody to chase around here? And why is the loss of American life that is obviously coming because that's what these guys bring, why is that acceptable?
Good question. Good question for Chris Wallace to have asked Hillary Clinton on Fox News this morning. Nobody wants to ask these questions because they're all in denial and they don't want to have the information because if they actually had the information, they would be required to act on it. Let me give you some numbers. Okay, I am reading from, by the way, this whole nonsense about it takes 18 to 24 months to vet these people, that's rubbish. That's total rubbish. The Syrian refugees or these refugees from the Middle East that are coming in here are recommended to us by Antonio Guterres, who is the head of the UN High Commission for Refugees, and we will not take any of them unless they are recommended to us by the UN. Now, here's the problem. In Jordan, for example, right across the border from Syria, inside Jordan, there is a UN refugee camp that has over 300,000 Muslims in it. Our agreement, the United States agreement with the UN, is that we will not take anybody who is not registered in the camp. So when you're talking about why are we only taking in Muslims and we're not taking in persecuted Christians, is because the Christians are terrified in Syria to go across the border and go into a UN camp that has 300,000 Muslims in it. The Muslims won't let them in. That's why we're not bringing any Christian refugees in here. So that takes care of that. Okay. Now, I am looking at, for example, the refugee report to Congress. This is fiscal 2012. That means from October 1st of 2012 until September 30 of 2013. There is a table on page 49. There are 9 exclusive nonprofit, in theory, contractors who are dealing with the government, Homeland Security, and the State Department to resettle all of these refugees in the United States of America. It is a scam. You can't play the game. Only these 9 approved entities can. Let me read you the list. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, the Ethiopian Community Development Council, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, the International Rescue Committee, the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, the World Relief Corporation, Church World Service, and the Domestic and Foreign Mission Society. They are getting our tax money every year for years now to the tune of some $1.5 billion to resettle the refugees in here. Now, United Parcel Service has a contract, for example, with Homeland Security to take some of their freighters, put seats in them, and to fly these refugees from overseas into the United States of America, many of them landing in New Orleans, and then Homeland Security has large buses like the Sheriff's Department, prisoner transport buses, I've got pictures of these buses. I have followed these buses. I've got copies of their license plates that I've taken. And the windows are all blacked out. And if you take a look in this particular report, you will find that there are four preferred cities in California for the last 3.5 years to resettle these Muslim refugees. The cities are San Diego, Sacramento, Modesto, and if you're sitting down, Walnut Creek, California. There is a refugee resettlement office, not widely publicized, at 1855 Olympic Boulevard in Walnut Creek, and it's right near Rossmoor, as a matter of fact.
I was just going to say, I know right where that is.
There you go. Now, here's the other interesting part. In 2009, the people, these nine charities, supposedly, who is getting all this money, were given a program, a privacy program, so that if you, as an American citizen, were to go to one of these refugee offices or you go to one of these nine charities and you ask them, how many people have you resettled and where did you resettle them? They will tell you, no, I'm sorry, but under this particular program, that's none of your business. They have to have privacy. Now, let me take it a step further, which is really scary. Once the federal government turns one of these refugees over to the nine charities, the federal government now no longer tracks that refugee. So we don't have the slightest idea who's here, where they are, what they're doing. But on the other hand, in California, we do have these benefit programs for general assistance. We have food stamps. In California, we call it CalFresh, okay? Mm-hmm. A little euphemistic name so we don't embarrass anybody.
Right.
We have work programs, all right? Not through the EDD, but it's called CalWorks, okay? These people take priority with medical treatment. They take priority with housing, where there is affordable housing programs in the various cities in California. And I'm focusing on California. That's actually all across the country. Twin Falls, Idaho, just had one of the Syrian refugees rape a 13-year-old girl up there because that's one of the preferred settlement areas up there in Idaho, Boise and Twin Falls. Just look this stuff up. So they've had problems in Sacramento. If you recall, there was a riot, which was not widely publicized, I guess, over July 4th in Sacramento, where you had a bunch of Muslim refugee young men who went through the park, and they were hitting people with baseball bats and sticks. Didn't hear about that one, did you, on the mainstream news?
Yeah, no, we missed that.
You missed that one. This has been going on for years. It has been going on for years. The information is all there, but the problem is, just like the Romans did, just if we give the people, the population, shiny trinkets and circuses, they're always going to look the other way and be happy. And this is the problem that we have going on right now with this whole refugee resettlement issue, especially in California. If you go down to the DMV, you will find all of these people getting driver's licenses. And if you recall, Brown first signed the Alien Ability Undocumented Democrats to get driver's licenses in California. And then a year later, he signed the Motor Voter Act. So now what you have in California is roughly 600,000 new registered Democrats for this coming election who in the last year, since Brown signed the Motor Voter Act, have gone to the DMV at the insistence of the Democrat Party and have either renewed their license, got a new license, and there is now right on the license form for the application, would you like to register to vote? And the majority of them are all registering as Democrats. So now we have over 600,000 in California, new registered Democrats, who in fact, the majority of which are illegal aliens, who are not allowed to vote. But in California, we're not required to show ID.
Right.
In June, I went to my local polling office, and I always have fun. I bring my passport with me, and I come to the table, and I show them my passport. I'm here to vote, and the woman this time just, she closed it. She passed it back to me. She says, I'm not allowed to look at that. I said, well, how do you know that it's me? Well, what's your name? I said, no, that's not what I asked you. How do you know it's me? She says, well, what's your name? I said, well, let me look in this passport. And I stood there like it wasn't my passport. And I said, okay, it looks like my last name is Friedman. And she goes, Peter. And I looked back in the passport and I went, yeah, that's the name here. And she hands me a ballot.
Wow.
God.
You know, you can't make this stuff up. So in the meantime, I'm sitting here and I'm page 49. Here's the table of where all of this money is going in fiscal 2012, 2013. And it's going to, it says the Ethiopian Community Development Council in San Diego, just in California. Here's the World Relief Corporation, Sacramento, International Rescue Committee, San Diego. This is money that goes to these nine charities, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of this money came back to the Democrat Party through campaign donations,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe to the Clinton Foundation. I don't know.
Oh, not those guys. No. I mean, that 13% that they spend on charity, you know, the other 87%, I'm sure, is going to a perfectly good administrative administrative cause, because I know most charities that spend 13% on the people they're supposed to serve makes them an awesome charity. Hey, we've got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay. Then I'll tell you about a little pamphlet put out by Ann Corcoran, who works for Frank Gaffney. People just go to Amazon, and it's $3 or something.
Nice. Okay. Well, we'll post a link for that, because we've got a boatload of information going on today. We're going to come back, finish out the top of the hour with our guest, Peter Friedman. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Show ID at the polls. Oh my gosh. You are rejoining We the People Radio. Just wanted to let you guys know, programming note, we have had some sponsor shifting happen. So we will not be broadcasting on the Conservative Commandos Radio Network in Philadelphia, New Jersey for a short period of time until we can rearrange some sponsorship and get that paid for. So if you know somebody who'd like to help us fund the show, since we are volunteers, this is not a job we do. You're like, yeah, don't quit your day job. I know. I hear you out there. You can go to our website, and all the information's there on how to contact us. So other than that, follow us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Back to Mr. Friedman for more bad news.
Full disclosure. Full disclosure, I do get paid by the radio station.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they pay Bob. Sorry about that. I forgot. That's why he sits on the other side of the table and he has all the buttons. We're just over here on the dopey side. Okay. Well.
Okay, you ready to keep going?
Yeah. No, well, no, but yes.
Okay, so this probably will take us maybe to the end of the hour.
Oh, maybe.
Google refugee resettlement by Ann Corcoran, C-O-R-C-O-R-A-N. And she works with Frank Gaffney at the Center for Security Policy. And this is a pamphlet, this is a small paperback book. It's put out by Gaffney, Center for Security Policy Press. And it is kind of a compendium of what we've been talking about. She's done a really wonderful job in here, but it is so monstrous of a project that it's really kind of hard to you know, do it justice without going into the details. But let me give you a couple of details here. I have in front of me the refugee report for fiscal 2013-2014. And I'm on page 59. And it says domestic impact of refugee admissions. I mean, they come out and they just tell you this, okay? It says in fiscal 2013, the U.S. Refugee Assistance Program admitted 69,926 refugees from 53 countries. So we're talking about, you know, just short of 70,000. Quote, more than half were originally from either Iraq or Burma. And in parentheses, it says see table 3. So you have roughly 35,000 refugees, Muslim, that came from either Iraq or Burma. Okay? Now, that's kind of interesting, considering in 2011 we pulled all of our people out of Iraq. All our military was gone from Iraq, and all of a sudden we get this influx, okay, a year or two later, of all these Iraqi refugees. Can you connect the dots? Now, I am also reading, second paragraph, page 59 of the report. The median age of all fiscal year 2013-2014 arrivals was 25. The median age, 25 years old. 54% of all arriving refugees, the 70,000, were male.
So yeah, that's not even, you know.
So much for that women and children thing.
Logical.
Yeah, thank you. That's where I was headed.
Oh, sorry.
You got it. Okay, now, bottom paragraph. 63% of the 70,000 refugees were resettled in the United States in just 12 states. The majority were placed in Texas. That was 10.7%. Followed by California, 9.1%, and then the rest is distributed between Michigan, New York, Florida, and Arizona.
Well, they're just trying to put them back into the same type of arid region they came from.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
In California, when you go to table six, California took in 6,383, and you can assume that at least 50% were males with a median age of 25. And where are they? Sacramento, Modesto, San Diego, and they're coming into Walnut Creek.
And what do they do to sustain themselves in these areas of, you know, fairly
good
high
question.
Population.
Well, let me give you a good example. For example, have you flown into Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport recently in the last 10, 15 years?
No.
There are 900 licensed cabs at the airport, Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Wow.
And they are all driven by Somalis.
Well, there you go. How do they get the money to buy a cab, or are they working for some cab company that?
Do you remember that? You remember that 2.5% zakat?
Yep.
You remember the $5.5 billion collected from Muslims and Muslim organizations and funds on the Dow Jones Islamic Index in America?
Yeah.
There's more money available than you can shake a stick at.
Dang it. I knew you were going to say that.
Plus, as soon as they are granted refugee status by Homeland Security, they get a little ID card. The ID card says Homeland Security on it. You can go Google this. There's no mystery about it. And with that refugee card, they can go and they can get free medical care at any county hospital. Okay? They can go and they can get free prescriptions. All they have to do is make a copy of the refugee card. They staple it at the pharmacy to the bill and they walk out not having paid anything. They get free subsidized housing by the feds, and this can go on for like 5 years. They get free legal aid and representation. That's where all this money is going to these nine charities.
Hmm.
This is one of the biggest scams, I think, next to the Clinton Foundation that has gone on in America for quite some time.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, you don't hear about that on mainstream for some reason.
Tell me this. Why Walnut Creek there in the Bay Area, just for the folks who don't know California well?
Because Walnut Creek, it's kind of like the movie with Kevin Costner called The Field of Dreams. If you build the mosque, they will come.
Oh.
And the mosques are all financed by the Saudis through the North American Islamic Trust. So if you were to go and to the Hall of Records anywhere where there's a mosque and you look up the trust deed, you'll find that the owner and the trustee of the mosque is the North American Islamic Trust. You've got to go back and you've got to read that general goal or the strategic goal for North America. It's all there. Everything. And this has been going on now for 25 years. In fact, if you take a look at the 29 unindicted co-conspirators on page 18, these organizations, you will recognize half of them from just being in the news, from where people have come out of those organizations to go to work for the administration, especially in the West Wing of the White House. And what happened was, since this was 1991, all of a sudden in 1994, they started to get pushback, and that's when the Muslim Brotherhood created CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, which they deem as a civil rights organization to stop people like me from telling the truth so that this civilization jihad can continue. This is what's going on. And, of course, when you disarm the populace, that's always fascinated me, because after Pearl Harbor, Yamamoto sat down with Tojo and the rest of the guys over there in Tokyo during World War II, and they told Yamamoto, wow, you did such a brilliant job of, you know, bombing Pearl Harbor and wiping out the United States Navy's Pacific Fleet. Now we want you to put a program together for the invasion of the West Coast of the United States. And Yamamoto said, guys, we can't do that. It would never work. I've lived in America, I've lived in Washington, D.C., and I got to tell you, because of the Second Amendment to their Constitution, everybody owns a gun. Now you understand why the Democrats are trying to put through what they consider common sense gun legislation. Are all these dots beginning to connect for you?
Yeah, just the crazy part is, and I guess I'll take my answer off the air because we got to take a stupid break again. But honest to God, how do they figure this is going to work out for them? Are they going to live like in a little bubble?
So far, it's worked out really well. We have.
They're going to get a total pass, and these guys are going to forget that they're not Muslims, and they're not going to. The rules aren't going to apply to them.
This is the irony. This is the irony of the alliance between the Democrat Party since 1972 and George McGovern and the Islamic infiltration, if you will. Because the Democrats are using the Islamic infiltration as their spear point, let's say. creating fear and whatever it is. You know, they've got to create the problem in order to feed us the solution.
Right.
And the Democrats actually believe, they actually believe that once they get done with what they're trying to do in the Saul Alinsky method, that they will be able to then turn around and control the Muslim population.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
Well, 1,400 years of Islamic history refutes that.
Yeah, really.
You know, it's crazy. All you got to do is read Dr. Bostrom's great book called The Legacy of Jihad. The man spent 10 years researching and writing this book that chronicles every single instance for the last 1,400 years where Muslims have not been able to play nicely with their neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. How do they figure it's going to work out for them in the end?
It's,
they're going to finance
it's not,
this.
But why can't
they're going to let them come
it?
In. They're going to let them, you know, run their game. And
right.
In the end, they're going to lose. I mean, they're going to win and we're going to lose.
They're going to get waxed.
Yeah.
All right.
Have
we need to take
ever...
one more quick break here before the top of the hour. And then we'll have to figure out when we're having Mr. Friedman back on again, because obviously we're not done making everyone crazy. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People Radio. That was a bad thing, I think, when they wrote this song. Now it's like, hey, you want to live like a refugee? Well, yeah.
I can't afford that.
Hell's bells. Everything's free. So, Mr. Friedman, we were asked here in the chat room, you know, are you ever interviewed on the other networks? One of the options that our guests listed was MSLSD, which I thought was kind of fun. Rachel Madcow. Any reach out from the... from the mainstream media on this stuff?
Absolutely not. I've been on KSFO in San Francisco, out of San Francisco. I've been on KMJ out of Fresno quite a bit. But not only that, but I have only been invited to share this information with one Christian religious organization, the Seventh-day Adventists.
That's weird.
Up in Napa, which, yeah, I mean, the first time I was even invited back the second time, which was interesting after they got over the shock the first time. But I have never been able to convince a Jewish synagogue to let me speak.
What?
I've never been able to. Nobody. No Christians, no Sikhs, no. And what they are afraid of is by learning this information, they are afraid, as a co-religionist, to having people, you know, researching them and possibly, you know, pointing fingers in their direction. And so they bury their heads in the sand. They don't talk about it. They participate. I read you the 9 nonprofit charities, especially the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. The Lutherans, the Episcopals, they're all taking the money. They're all taking the money. And at some point, you know, you have to look at this like I do once you have all this information and come to the conclusion, the inescapable conclusion, that these guys are in this just for the money. They have these exclusive agreements, and there is an untold amount of money that's going into this, and there has to be, as an inescapable conclusion, there has to be some other reason for bringing these people in here and using tax money in order to do it. When you're bringing people in here who come from third world countries that do not have an assimilating culture, it defies the whole diversity, multiculturalism, narrative. And it's suicidal.
Oh, it's totally suicidal.
And we are, like Khrushchev said, we are constructing the rope that we will be hung by.
Yeah.
And it's nuts.
It is nuts. Okay, so before we run out of time, two things. You want to make people crazy again next week?
Sure, I'd love to.
Yeah, okay. All right, so I just thought I'd let people know what they were in for. And those of you who can't get us on your radio station there on the East Coast, you can find us again online. I always have the archives up before about 2:30, and then the commercial-free Robert does for us in the afternoon. So I'll get those up as quickly as possible, too.
Yeah, and let's work on that list of folks that are taking money from these guys that are
back to Ron from the beginning of the program. Do you have a list of that, or is there a good place to research that so we don't just leave him hanging?
Yeah, go to Ann Corcoran's book. Either go to her little paperback book, or you can get it Google the Refugee Report to Congress 2015, 2016. It doesn't make any difference because those charities are all listed in there.
Okay.
And the amounts of money that they're getting and
okay, so the Refugee Report to Congress. So I'll get that and I'll post it. Ron, if you're not an online guy, give me a holler. You're here in town, 515-7135, and I'll figure out a way to get it to you.
Peter, thanks for coming on. Let's do it again next week.
Okay, because
I'll send you a copy of one of the refugee reports by email when we get off the phone.
Very nice. I'll post it.
This is a serious issue, folks. We've got to get a handle on this, or we're not going
to
be here.
Yeah, and I like to do it all at the same time so we can get it all in bites. Thanks a million, Peter. We'll see you next week, folks. Hang in there.
Our pleasure.
Thanks a lot. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we're out until next week. Thanks, Bob.